more stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just paint it.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in your real ghost story. Share it with us. You can also write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file to us. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get those stories to us. Support the show. Keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. That's where you get a bonus episode of the program every single week. Whole bunch of other perk options as well, depending on the level you want to support us at. Starts at $5 a month to get all the bonus episodes, the new ones every week. You do that at ghostpodcast.com. Sign up directly through the website, or there's a Patreon option as well for supporting the program. You choose what you like and help keep us on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
How are those wasabi peas?
They're awesome. That's my current favorite snack.
So if you hear during the episode, like, be like, somebody's telling a story, and I heard this strange crunching sound outside my room, and it's just Jenny.
I think you'll kill my mic during the call.
There's not any sort of...
I'm sure
Oh, will I?
You'll kill my mic
You think I will. I got the button right here.
I know you do.
I may use it for added sound effects.
I think you're going to press it so that it doesn't happen.
You
that
think
way.
You're going? It's a very passive aggressive way of saying, "Please mute my microphone so I can eat my wasabi piece."
Yeah, will you do that?
I think you're going to do that.
Pretty sure.
We'll see. We'll see. I'll mute your microphone.
Thank you.
You can have your peas.
Thank you.
It's funny you don't eat real peas like when they're fresh or.
Nope, I only like these.
Dried and covered in wasabi.
Uh-huh.
Wasabi's like healthy. It's just, isn't it? Is wasabi healthy?
It's a root, so I don't think it's, you know.
Bad for you?
It's like horseradish.
What else do they put in it, like, to make it that
I
consistency?
I don't want to know. Don't ruin this for me.
Let's ruin it for you. Dried horse blood. My God. Kidding.
I'm going to start throwing them at you.
I don't even see the ingredients. Oh, here we go. Green peas, glutinous rice flour. Okay, that's what kind of gives it
the white powdery.
Wheat flour, palm oil, sunflower oil, sugar, horseradish. So horseradish would be the wasabi.
Yeah.
Salt, FD&C yellow. Number five. Oh, God. I have no idea. I never understood it, though. I know it's like just the coloring. They have to list it. I think you're good.
Okay.
There's nothing really bad for you in there. No, you can eat 55 pieces and get 130 calories.
Yep.
So, do you count them?
I don't count my peas.
Literally, one,
no, I
two.
Don't do that.
Portion those guys out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi, you're on the air.
So, I do have another story for you. As I mentioned in my last story, I witnessed a few bizarre things, and I may have some kind of sensitivity to these things. I may just have a wild imagination. I'm not entirely sure, but I thought you might enjoy this. So we're going to take it back a little bit before the house that I told you about, to the house that I was born into, I guess you might say. The first house I lived in, which was not too far from the house I told you about. This house is in a place called Middle Island. It's on Long Island, New York, but, you know, about a good maybe 15, 20 miles away. Not too far. Anyway, so this house had an interesting history because, well, my parents tell me, there had been a fire before we moved in there in which two people died. That was my recollection of it. I don't have quite as much detail to this story because I don't have as vivid a memory. I was much younger. I lived in that house from, you know, when I was born up until I was probably about 7 or 8, I think, is when I left there and moved to the other house that I told you guys about. It's raining out. I hope the rain is affecting up the audio. I may, you know, type this and send it to you in text form later if it is. I hope you still hear me pretty well. But in any case, in this house, I had a few experiences that I do remember pretty well. The main thing that I remember is hearing music a lot when I went to bed at night. And there wouldn't be a radio on, there wouldn't be anyone playing any music, but I would just hear music. And it usually was as though the radio were on. It would be, you know, regular songs that I heard throughout the day, but I would hear them at night. And I know that's probably easily explained by saying, you know, somebody in the house probably had a radio on, which I think is still entirely possible, but my memory of it, I feel like the music was playing in my head. I was, once again, very little at the time, so that could be nothing. I do also remember on many occasions, my bedroom door would open, and there would be what appeared to be a werewolf peeking in on me. But again, I was little. My imagination may have been, you know, getting away from me, and that was probably just my dad, who did have a pretty heavy beard at the time. So that may have been nothing. But a couple of things that are definitely something. And now, I described to you in my last story the face I saw on the window at my house at Bridge. Now, that wasn't the first time I had seen a disembodied face. I did, time to time, in the bedroom, in the upper corner where the walls met the ceiling near the closet, see a blue face with red eyes that would just sort of manifest there and look at me. It was not a normal human face. You know, it had an elongated, crooked nose that came to a point, and I don't think it ever spoke, but it would just look at me with its red eyes, and I remember being very afraid of that when I was a kid. I would also, sometimes, and I slept in a bunk bed with my sister at the time, I would often wake up on the floor. I slept on the top bunk, and I would often wake up on the floor in the morning, which was pretty bizarre. I would think as a kid, if I rolled off the top bunk and onto the floor, that would wake me up. But that didn't appear to be the case. I seemed to get from the top to the bottom without ever waking up. So that's a little bizarre. Now, it does get a lot stranger. I did one time go out with my family, you know, shopping and everything on a weekend. You know, myself, my sisters, both my parents. And when I came home, it was early evening. It was beginning to get dark out. I went to my bedroom, the same bedroom that I had shared with my sister at the time. We were both, you know, little enough that wasn't weird. And I went in there, and I saw a woman dressed all in white, and she was, you know, she was ethereal. You could see through her. And music was playing as though it were a woman from a music box come to life. And she spoke to me, and I don't remember what she said, and I so wish that I did. It may have been prophetic. It may have been nothing. It may have been a threat. It may have been a reassurance. I have no idea. And I really wonder if something that woman said to me was important, and I really wish I could remember. But I was so scared. I just left the room, and I cried and called to my mom. I was, like I said, about 5 years old at the time. And, you know, it's funny because I remember that day when we got there, my dad had sent me to my room because I was being, misbehaving. And I was terrified of my dad. You know, he was a scary dad. He was the kind of dad that he didn't want to make angry. But I didn't care. said he sent me to my room. I was so scared. I came out of my room. I called my mom, and I said, I told her what I saw, and, she comforted me and everything. I didn't see it again, but I wonder if my mom remembers that. That was a scary, scary day for me as a kid. There was something else. I do vaguely remember one time we were playing some kind of game, hide-and-seek or something like that. I don't really remember, but I remember I was under the kitchen table, and I saw a figure walk through the kitchen. It was glowing green. Just green light coming off this figure walking through the kitchen in the house. That was the other really strange thing I had seen there. And I think, really, that's the only experiences that I had in that house. Although I do remember some interesting things that my parents later told me about. One was that my dad, when we lived there, he could fix anything. And my dad was never, I guess he was always a pretty handy guy. But he told me later that when he lived there, he could fix absolutely anything. He would go to the basement where he had his workshop. And he would be in the basement just fixing anything that was broken. Toys of ours, chairs, furniture, anything that was broken, fix it. And he said never before or since living in that house was he ever able to fix things like he was when he lived there. He had amazing mechanical skill that he lost as soon as we left and never had before he lived there. Almost as though, somebody were guiding his hands. And he said he would stay up all hours of the night just fixing things in the workshop. My mom also said that while we lived there, she always felt like there was somebody there with her, even when she was in the house by herself. And my mother's a very anxious woman. She never could be alone for very long. But she said as long as she lived there, she didn't mind being alone because she always felt like there was somebody there with her. And it wasn't a malicious presence. It wasn't an evil or malevolent or malignant presence. It was safe. It felt comforting. It felt soothing. Like there was somebody there watching her and looking out for her. She never felt scared. And I would like to think that woman that I saw was one of those protective spirits. And maybe she was telling me something important or something good or, warning me about something, because I don't feel like she would have been there to scare me or hurt me. I feel like she was there to tell me something or to warn me about something. And I really wish I knew what it was. I really wish I could remember. Maybe one day I'll see her again. I don't know. It's pretty scary, so I hope not, but maybe. I do have some more stories that I will call in another time. I might actually call in another one later today or even tomorrow. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope that your listeners enjoyed it if you choose to run it. Have a good night.
There's something very creepy about the sound of windshield wipers in the background of a story.
Right.
It's like, ooh. I can guarantee if I had not said that, or maybe someone already has. So there's someone listening who's probably already sent an email in going, what is that noise?
He mentioned it was raining.
Sure. So. But if you missed that,
right,
you could easily like, oh my God, that sounds so bizarre.
So if I were him, I would ask my mom if I'm still able to about the time that he saw the lady.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he went and told her he saw the lady, he might have told her what she was saying. And the mom might remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the kinds of things moms don't forget, is when a ghost is telling your kid something and your kid comes to tell you, that'll stay with you.
Jenny remembers every time the children come to us and tell them the ghosts are talking to them.
No, those are some of those scary, helpless feeling moments where, as a parent, you can't do anything to change it or to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kind of moments that haunt you, for lack of a better term.
Have you ever thought the children were telling you about ghosts? And then, I mean, real or not, I mean, whether it happened or not, but like maybe you found out, no, this wasn't a ghost. It was just something else. But
no.
Or suspected it or for a moment felt like that?
No. Not where the kids came running to me and said something happened. No.
Like the ghostliest thing I can think of is when Harper was talking about how she died in a spaceship.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't see any ghosts, but she was full on recounting her death of a previous life when she was an astronaut and was in a spaceship. And it was like, what are you talking about? And she's brushing her teeth, and then it was done. It's like, oh, can I watch Rescue Bots or whatever? And it was pre-Rescue Bots.
She was too little.
Yeah.
She was, she was very little.
It's like, Daddy, I died. What?
I died.
What do you mean you died? In the spaceship, there was a lot of fire. We were on our mission. She even said mission, which is funny for a two-year-old. Like, she was using terminology that, like, she shouldn't know.
Right.
And we're on a mission. There was lots of fire. And my spaceship burned. And I died.
Now, she may have known the word mission from Little Einsteins, yeah. But there's never been a Little Einsteins where the rocket crashes and the kids go flying or die.
That's on a very special Little Einsteins. Right. That's on the HBO version of it now. They have it over there, and now it's a little more extreme than PBS Kids.
Yeah.
It was just interesting. And then no memory of it. It's one of those things. Did Libby ever have any of that when
no,
she was...
Any, she did it.
Recounting of anything?
No.
Maybe it's her first go-round.
Libby just never... she's sensitive, but she's never been sensitive to the level Harper is.
Sure.
You know? Because you're somewhat... I think you're somewhat sensitive.
Yeah.
And I'm sensitive for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fed into Harper. But, you know, Libby's only got my half. So it sure. just doesn't... It doesn't equate.
Yeah, I mean, I want, you know, everybody, you know, I think there's a starting point, and if there is, like, past lives or something, maybe there's more, you know, maybe Harp's in more go-rounds, you know, than she is. Maybe this is her first round.
Right.
You know, or, I don't know, I mean, because you wonder how many times, because there's, like, stories of people in their past lives where they can, like, recount, like, six or seven of them.
Sure.
You know, I wonder how deep it goes, or if it goes even deeper than that, and you don't even know.
Well, someday when we take them to Kennedy Space Center, Harp will probably lead the tour.
She'll be like, and over here is where they last saw me on screen.
Right.
It's like, oh God, that'll be disturbing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jill from Indiana. I was just calling to let you know that I have a new story for you for Halloween. So recently we did a paranormal investigation for a business in our town. And a funny thing about this, it's going to be a new business. It used to be a house. And when I look up the address for this business on Google Earth, plotting it on a map within a 2-block radius around this new business, we've investigated probably 8 or 9 different homes and businesses, all within that area. And my personal theory is because this property, the whole area, acres of it, used to all be owned by one person. And that person had a factory on this land. And this is back before unions, when factories were horrible. It was pretty much slave labor, a lot of deaths, a lot of accidents. If you look up the history of the first factories, it is pretty awful. So this property has, you know, over the years been divided up and used for different things. So the factory buildings are mostly gone. But any factory building that is left that has been refurbished is haunted. And we've hunted most of them. And they're just... I can't even go into it. The stuff that you hear in there is awful. I'll give you one hint. One of them was the factory had been originally for cars, then it did tires, then it made swing sets, you know, as the years go by, different purposes. One of the things that was happening when we investigated, I was calling for who's there. And one of the things I do is I call for help, and sometimes the spirits that are there will come try to help you. So this man rushed up to me, and all I could say is it was like a manly smell. He smelled like sawdust, fresh cut wood, and there was a whoosh of wind as he rushed up to me, but I couldn't see anything, just the wind smell. And I had the SB7, which is Spirit Box 7, for the ghost to talk through, like a radio. And I said, can you help me, or can I help you? And he said, I can't find my wife. I need my wife. And I said, what do you need help with? I can help you. I can be your wife and help you. And he said, he started saying, my back is broke. My back is hurt. And then he became very angry. And you could feel the static electricity in the air change and become heavy and dark as he got angrier. And he was yelling about how they lied to us. I don't know exactly what happened to this man. Obviously, he was injured in the building, probably gravely. I also work in a factory, so I told him, I said, when you took this job, your employees also died. And he didn't respond. And I said, you knew it was dangerous, but you did it anyway because of the money. You did it for your wife. And she knows that, and she loves you. And she's not sad or mad at you anymore that you're gone. And she's waiting for you in the light. And then there was it felt like there was an immense sadness. I don't know how to explain it. The meters clicked on and off, but all that shows is that there's an increase in the static in the air. And then there was whooshing of air again, and he was gone. And that business actually said that that particular activity in that area of the building that they were having a problem with stopped after we came, and it never happened again. So I hope that helped him. I don't know. A lot of this is just guesswork. But I tell people, if you're buying property or you're going to make a business or you're buying houses, try to do some history research first. Just because you're building a brand new house on that property doesn't mean that land is okay. A lot of things to look for is there a railroad? Railroads were horrible. Was there a jail, a hospital, an insane asylum, or a poorhouse? Or a factory? Also, if there was a school, small hometown schools, not usually a big problem, but the big schools where the wealthy would send their children away for long periods of time in history growing up, but now I find myself being forced to learn it. So I hope you all have a great Halloween and stay spooky.
There you go.
I guess maybe he crossed over.
I think that may be what happened.
Maybe he needed, you know, to know that that's where he was going to, you know, find mm-hmm. his wife.
I think that that's probably what the outcome was there. I mean, it's good that she's able to, you know, kind of go in some of those situations and really help out.
Uh-huh.
And it seems to work in a lot of them. It's always interesting hearing Jill's stories.
Oh, yeah.
So appreciate you sharing that one with us, Jill. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Bruce. My name is Jackie. I'm re-recording this, so I'm going to try and make it quick. I love what you do, and I plan to become an EPP very soon. So this story happened last night, actually, Halloween 2017. I was at a party at a Portuguese Hall in Arcata, California, which is Northern California, where Humboldt State University is. That's where I went, and so that's kind of the area. What happened was it was time to leave the party for everyone. I say they're pretty late, actually, so everybody was kind of being ushered out, and you know, the normal thing, and so I was outside, actually, for a few minutes, and then I realized, like, I need to use the restroom, which happened. So I went back to one of the doors, the side doors, and I saw this lady. She looked Hispanic, maybe, to tell, really light skin, dark hair, I'm actually light skin and dark hair, so I was really, you know, I really didn't know her background at all. But she was wearing this dress, red dress, hair done up, like they have it done up in Mexican folk dancing, which I actually used to do a lot when I was young. They used to tie up the hair with the ribbons, and her hair was real fancy, and she was wearing a gown, basically. So I was kind of confused because, you know, people were dressed up, but I did not see anyone in a gown there. So, I mean, there were a lot of people, but I was like, okay, you know, that looks really cool. So I think I walked up to her and said, you know, I like your dress or something like that. But she actually kind of, she went through the doorway and then she went towards the bathroom. And I was like, oh, the bathrooms are open. Okay, great. So I like kind of jam over, you know, behind this lady, and I said something to her, and she kind of, she said something back, but I can't remember what it was. It was kind of like, come here, or something like that. She was very old school, like, dialect, and very cryptic, actually. And then I kind of noticed that she is not actually walking through here. She's kind of gliding through here, but I see her full on like a human. So I was, you know, and I had a couple drinks, so, you know, I was confused, like, okay, I'm following this person. And I go, and she goes into one of the restrooms. There's two on each side down this hall. And she goes in and she closes the door. And then I was trying to ask her, hey, wait, you know, like, because I was really confused. I was like, I wanted to ask her another question because I think it's a ghost. And I wanted to ask her something. But she kind of looks at me as she closes the door. And it happened so fast. But I kind of, because I thought it was something paranormal, I waited for a little bit after, and I never saw her come out. So I kind of got freaked out because, you know, she looked real. Like, she looked like a real person, and I was talking to someone I thought that was real. Because there's so many people at this party, but when we walked in, it was like there were only the guys, like, taking down the sound equipment. So I walked in after her because I got excited because, you know, I was like, oh, the bathroom's still open. I can just go real quick before I go home, is what happened. And then I saw this lady, and it's hard to explain because the gown was so intricate and old school. It was like a Spanish red, big skirt, like, and I hadn't seen her the whole night, so. Anyways, thank you. Let me know what you think about that. I kind of got freaked out about it. I actually got lost on the way home and ended up at this dead end street with this creepy ass house. So, but I eventually made it back to mine, and I don't know if that has any connection or anything, but I've never seen anything like that before. So, thank you. And, happy Halloween. This will probably be reviewed later, Halloween night. So it was a great one. I don't know what to make of that. So we'll see. All right. Thanks. Bye.
So with saying that she had been drinking some, you know, I'm not going to go with, oh, you were imagining things. I think sometimes that opens you up for things to come and present themselves to you.
Sure.
So I think maybe that's why she hadn't seen it before, is because this particular evening she was...
It just opened it.
...having beverages.
I unfortunately don't get to see ghosts when I have beverages, though.
I think that's not unfortunate. I think that's fortunate.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
No. I don't think so.
You'd, like, really... You'd be upset about that.
I would.
You don't want to see ghosts after a bottle of wine all of a sudden? my God, there's the dead.
No, because I would totally kill wine for me.
After I saw the dead people, no more Cabernet.
No.
That's done. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. It's Emily from Galesburg, Illinois. It's my first time calling in with a ghost story. I just started listening to your podcast. It's been about a week now, and I'm obsessed with it. I love it. I have a ghost story. It's of the shadow person. I hear that a lot on your podcast, and I thought I was crazy, but after hearing all these stories about the ghost people, I'm kind of like, So, my ghost story is when I was in high school, I was probably a sophomore. I'm 25 now, so it's been a few years. I was at my house, and my friend called me and said, she was really freaked out. She said she just saw a car accident happen in front of her, and we just got our driver's licenses that year, so she was pretty creeped out. It was her first thing, witnessing that. So she's like, will you come to my house, stay the night with me tonight? It was Friday. So I said, yeah. And she came over, was going to pick me up and take me to her house. And I was packing my bags when she got there. She sat on my bed. And so my room is, it's really small. Really, if you put my bed in there and a dresser, you really don't have much other room to do anything. So it's pretty small. The head of my bed is against the wall that shares the same wall as our hallway. And I had my bedroom door closed a little bit, like it was open quite a bit. I could see into the hallway, but it was still kind of ajar, I guess. And I was standing by the head of my bed, packing my bags, and I see a shadow go by in the hallway. I didn't have the light on the hallway, so it was dark, but the shadow was, like, darker than dark, like how I hear all the people on your podcast explain these shadow people. It was just like that. And I thought it was my stepdad because he's the only man in the house. And it walked by and it pushed the door open on me. Not really hard, but it scared me. But I was like, oh, Jonathan, just playing games, you know. And so I go out into the living room and I was going to ask why he did that. You know, just kind of laugh about it with him. And he was asleep in the living room on the couch, and so was my mom. And I was like, okay, well, it can't be my cat either pushing the door. Maybe I imagined a shadow go by and my cat opened it. But he was laying on my mom's lap, and that's the only people in the house. And when I asked my friend, I said, did you see that? She's like, yeah. She's like, okay, let's get out of here. So we were pretty creeped out. That's the only time I've seen a shadow person in my house. I've always felt creepy about the hallway. People that I've had stay the night over the years, even in elementary school, they were like, I'm creeped out by your hallway, you know, maybe it was just because it was dark, I don't know. But I still feel kind of creepy about that hallway. I don't really like to walk down it at night or even during the day. It's kind of creepy. It's like someone's watching you at all times. But that was the only time I've seen a shadow person and doing that. I told my dad about it, actually, when it happened. And he said, it's really funny you brought that up, Emily, because when you were little and when I still lived there, I was probably 3, maybe at the time, he said that I was in the bathtub with the door open, you know, just playing in there to my bath. And he was in the living room. It's not very far from the bathroom, so he could hear me if something had happened. He was strumming his guitar. And he said that he saw a shadow figure in the hallway. And he's like, well, maybe it was just a car going by because we do live on a busy street. So maybe it was a shadow. And then he said, right after he saw that, I said, Daddy, is that you? And he's like, what the heck? So it kind of put two and two together, like there is a shadow person in my house, but my mom's never seen it, my stepdad's never seen it. I've only seen it that one time, and my dad's seen it apparently. So it's kind of creepy. That's my ghost story for you. I do have quite a few more, actually. Not real scary ones, but kind of creepy stuff that happened. And some dreams, so I'll call that in sometime. I'm not an EPP yet. I am going to be going to college soon, and money's going to be pretty tight. So if you do share this online, please do it on the one that's not EPP so I could hear it. if you do share it. If not, it's fine. I just thought I'd share, and I'm going to keep listening to your podcast. I really enjoy it. Thank you. Have a good day.
You know, I think shadow people are probably one of the more approachable paranormal topics for people to talk about in a family.
Mm-hmm.
Because chances are other people have seen it too. So I think it's, you know, it's wise to open that conversation because it's easier to say, hey, I think I saw some weird shadows than to describe a full-bodied apparition. Not that I'm saying you shouldn't bring that up too. Mm-hmm. But depending on the mindset of your family members, I think it's... Yeah. It's something to bring up, like she did here with her dad.
Yeah, and you can see where it goes, and you may end up actually, you know, finding a little more comfort in that, or relatability, or your family looking at you like completely crazy.
What do you got to lose?
Exactly, exactly. So thank you for that story. Do greatly appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. That wraps up today's program. Thank you guys for listening. If you like the show, become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up directly through the website, become an EPP there. $5 a month is all we ask. That $5 gets you a bonus episode every single week of the program. Access to our archive of like 100, almost 80-ish bonus episodes right there. You can download all of them and binge away. Those are our best ghost stories yet. So if you're new to the program, definitely worth being an EPP, getting access to those episodes. And $5 a month helps this thing stay afloat. So consider it a win-win. There's also an option to become an EPP through Patreon as well. It all starts over at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.